You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we think about God, He is three in one. So He is three divine persons, but yet one God. So we are familiar with God the Father promising to send His Son. We are familiar with God the Son coming, living, suffering, dying, rising, ascending. But what about the Holy Spirit, though? Do we give much thought to the third person of the Holy Trinity? Well, in today's gospel reading from John chapter 7, Jesus is going to tell us about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and He's also going to tell us about the powerful work that the Holy Spirit will do in and through the lives of those who believe in Jesus. So that's talking about Him working in us as well, in our lives, in very powerful ways. Coming to the first part today, we see Jesus' great announcement as we go to John chapter 7, verse 37. The Bible says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.'" So what's going on there? Let's consider what feast is being spoken of. Let's consider the difficult circumstances that Jesus was under at that time, and also what this great announcement is about that Jesus made. First of all, what feast? Well, today is the day of Pentecost, but we're not talking here about the feast of Pentecost. That would line up and be very fitting and very nice, but actually the context here would be the Feast of Booths. So I said that Pentecost earlier is the second feast where the men were required to gather. Here, the Feast of Booths, that's actually the third feast. That's a fall feast where the people were required to gather. It was a feast where they celebrated the fall harvest. This particular feast was a difficult time for Jesus because the feast was in Judea, and in that place, the Bible tells us that people were seeking to arrest Him in order to kill Him. But what did Jesus do, though? Initially, He told His brothers He was not going, but after His brothers left for the feast, then He went. But He didn't keep in secret, though. When He went, He taught. He taught publicly, even. So He was fearless. Even though people wanted to kill Him, He taught publicly. And what was the outcome? The Bible says that some, in fact, did reject Him, but the Bible also says that many believed Him. Even as we think about sharing the Word of God with others, will some reject us? Will some reject what we say? By all means. But still, though, when we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in conjunction with that Word, we also have the opportunity that God can bring people to believe. That should get us excited. That should inspire us to share that Word of God. And then He talked here about thirst. He said, "If anyone thirsts." So what kind of thirst is He talking about? Well, let me tell you a little bit more about the Feast of Booths and what went on for this 8-day festival. So there was a ritual each day where water was received in a golden pitcher from the fountain of Siloam, and then the water was brought to the altar and it was poured out. So what was the idea of that ritual each day of this particular feast? The idea was it was commemorating, or it was helping the people remember what happened at Meribah, as recorded in the Old Testament in Exodus, where the people were very, very thirsty, and God provided for them, and water gushed out of the rock. So the people were physically thirsty, and God provided for them. So here, Jesus makes the announcement He does here in connection with this physical thirst, because He wants people to get thinking about spiritual thirst. He wants people to know that because of our sin, we are in great need of a spiritual drink, so he is calling people to be aware of this great need. So we are aware, so we are gathered here to hear the word of God, to receive the sacrament, to know that in Christ we are forgiven. There are many people who choose not to gather because they're not aware of their great spiritual need. If we are hungry and we know there is food being served, we show up because we want to eat. If there's food being served, but we've just eaten a five-course meal, we're not interested in going, we're not hungry. God wants us to know it's important to always remain hungry for God's forgiveness, because we are always falling into sin in many and various ways. And then what does it mean when Jesus said to come and drink? He's not talking here about physical water. He's talking about a spiritual blessing. So when he says come and drink, really he's saying come and believe in me. I am the promised Messiah. I came to take away the sin of the world. Come and believe in me. Even when he said that, though, for all of the unbelievers who heard that, what is their problem? They are dead in their sins, so they have no ability to be able to come and believe. But God wants us to understand, though, that when the announcement went out to come and believe, along with the announcement went the power to be able to respond to that announcement. So God is not only offering the invitation, but he is giving the power for all people to be able to favorably respond to that invitation. And then coming to the second part, we're focusing here on how the Holy Spirit wants to work through us as believers. In verse 38, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures had said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." What does that mean? We have a nice explanation here from Lenski. He wrote, "He who comes to Jesus not only finds his own soul satisfied, but also becomes a medium for conveying the same spiritual satisfaction to others." As we find ourselves here in John chapter 7, we have not yet come to the day of Pentecost, so this reading is looking toward that day, but now we know it has already come. Now we know the Spirit has been poured out. Now we know the Spirit is with believers to help them and bless them and use them in powerful ways. So Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me." You probably have known people that have said, "Oh, I believe in Jesus," or "I have faith." But what does that really mean, though? I think we can easily get confused on what it means to believe in him. First of all, let's know that believing is more than words. Just because people say, "I believe in Jesus," doesn't mean they believe in him. So it's more than words. Believing is also more than agreement with certain facts. So if we said, "Jesus is God, we are sinners, there is a hell, and there is a heaven." Some people can say, "I believe that is true. I believe those factual things." Is that faith? Is that saving faith? Is that what opens a way to heaven? It's not. Instead, believing is God's work in us. That is work that God does by the Holy Spirit as he works through the Word of God. Of course, we're talking also here about the work of God in baptism, because baptism, we say, is the visible word of God. So God is at work there as well. So God is working through his word of law in order to help us know that we stand condemned. We have sinned. We have fallen short. We can't fix our situation. And then God works through his word of gospel in order that we know with assurance, with blessedness, that we have God's gift of forgiveness. We have God's gift of eternal life. So believing is not something that we do toward God, but believing is something that God has to come to us and work within us, and God does that work through word and sacrament. So it's important that we gather to hear that word, to receive the sacrament. That's how God brings people to Christ, and then that's how God also continues to work within us in order to keep us in Christ. How does living water flow from believers? Sounds kind of unusual, doesn't it? But that's an important question, though. So Lenski already gave us one answer, how not only are we satisfied ourselves as we receive Jesus Christ, but then the idea is that it doesn't stop with us, but then it flows right through us to be a blessing to others. Think about what Jesus said to his disciples on the day he ascended into heaven. He was looking ahead to the coming of the day of Pentecost in 10 days, and he said to them, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." So Jesus was pointing them ahead to when the Holy Spirit would come and the power they would have to be able to speak his word. And then through that word, the Holy Spirit would get the attention of people, show them their sins, and bring them to Jesus Christ. That was the entire plan from Pentecost going forward for believers. So I would ask all of us today to ask ourselves, okay, that is for Christians, that is for followers of Jesus Christ. So how am I learning the Word of God? And how am I sharing that Word of God with others so that they might know that Word too, so that they might have Jesus Christ, so that they might be with God forever? I think we've lost that type of thing within the Christian church in many respects. And I don't think that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to be, first of all, very serious about our own relationship with him. And then he wants us to care about others so much that we think about them, that we pray for them, and that we seize the opportunities God gives us to share his word with them. And then finally, we come to the last verse here, verse 39. This verse is looking toward the day of Pentecost, but it lets us know that it has not yet come. The Bible says, "Now this Jesus said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So those words are explaining what was about to come with the day of Pentecost. So we realize from that perspective, it hasn't come yet, but we realize from our perspective, it came a long time ago, and that reality is in the world today. So what changed, though, when the Holy Spirit was poured out? Let's try to make a little contrast here. So think about Jesus being arrested. So from that time all the way to the day of Pentecost. So for 53 days, what was going on with Jesus' followers? They were fearful. They were locked behind closed doors, and they were afraid to speak about Jesus. So that was true for those 53 days. And then what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit was poured out. They were filled up with the Holy Spirit. And how did that change them? They were filled with power. They were filled with courage. They were filled with boldness. Everything that was negative before was gone, and now they had all these positives. There was truly a great change within them. God wants the very same to show in our lives. At one time, we were dead in our sin and on our way to hell. God has gotten a hold of us and made us his own in Jesus Christ. And that's a radical thing. Now we have eternal life. Now we have heaven. God wants us to rejoice in those great blessings, and he wants us to be so excited that we are overflowing that others might hear this good news too. So do we have that same Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost? In fact, we do. God wants us to know that is true. I want to share about five passages with you here real quick in closing that will point in that direction. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if we can say, not simply say he is Lord, but if he in fact is our Lord, we can know that we have the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says, apart from the Holy Spirit, you can't really truly say that statement. In Romans chapter 5, it says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So God loved us by giving us Jesus. Jesus did his work, and then the Holy Spirit gave us the benefits of Jesus' work through the waters of holy baptism. So again, we have God's great blessings in connection with the Holy Spirit. Think about this passage in Ephesians chapter 1. You also, when you believed in Christ, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. So God has promised us eternal life, but we might say, well, wait a minute, God, you've made the promise, but I don't have like a piece of paper. I don't have something to be able to assure me that I really have the gift of eternal life. And God is saying, oh no, you do have a guarantee here. I've given you the Holy Spirit as your guarantee. God wants us to know that's a very powerful, important thing. And then in Romans chapter 15, it says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. What is hope? Hope is believing in a promise of God that has not yet been fulfilled. So God says that through Christ, we will be with him in paradise someday. Are we there yet? We're not. But God wants us to be certain here about that coming reality. And how can we be certain? Because the Holy Spirit makes us certain that the promises in God's word are true. So the Holy Spirit is working in our lives in a very important way. And then finally, one more here in Acts chapter 4. It says the believers were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So the Holy Spirit filled them, and what was the result of that? They're speaking the word of God, not being timid about it, but they're speaking it with boldness. God wants us to have that same Spirit fill us so that we might speak that same word to others, and God might use it in a very powerful way. Please join me now in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would forgive our current weak lives in Jesus Christ. And then we pray that you would fill us, change us, and work through us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might be richly blessed and that you might use us to be an eternal blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.